move to our final item this afternoon, which is 369.
Appeal of Preserve the Pearl LLC against Design Commission's decision to approve a new full-block mixed-use project in the Central City Plan District's River Subdistrict at 1241 Northwest Johnson Street, LU 14230014DZM.
Okay, this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, and we follow prescribed procedures for how we conduct those. Those are laid down for us in state law and our code. So both I and the city attorney will set up that discussion and then we'll proceed. First thing I need to do is ask if any members of the council have any ex parte contacts to report or any potential conflicts of interest with this case. Hearing none, I have none myself. I'll turn it over to our city attorney to detail the process that we'll be following for the hearing.
Okay. Good afternoon. This is going to be an evidentiary hearing. This means you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. We'll begin with a staff report by Bureau of Development Services staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The appellant will go first and will have 10 minutes to present his or her case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next. Each of these persons will have 3 minutes to speak to council. The principal opponent, in this case the applicant, will then have 15 minutes to address city council and rebut the appellant's presentation. After the principal opponent, the council will hear from persons who oppose the appeal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. Finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes to rebut the presentation of the opponents of the appeal. I'd like to announce several guidelines for those of you who are addressing council today. First, submitting evidence into the record. Any letters or documents you wish to become part of the record must be given to the council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or a copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to council during your testimony, including PowerPoint presentations, must be given to the council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. Second, any testimony, arguments, and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for the land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code you believe apply to the decision. BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to council. Third, issues must be raised with specificity. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give council and the other parties an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you do not, you will be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Finally, the applicant must identify constitutional challenges to conditions of approval. If the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow counsel to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court. And that concludes my remarks.
Okay, thank you.
I have a point of procedure.
Sure, question?
Yeah, well, it's not really a question. I am with the River Pearl LLC.
I'm sure you can tell us about them when you testify, so you'll get a chance to put on your case here. We're going to conduct the hearing, and because we have to do that. It's on the council calendar.
It's a violation of our fundamental due process rights to have a fair hearing because we haven't had an opportunity to respond to
We'll give you the opportunity to make both substantive and legal arguments here today, but we have a pretty prescribed procedure, and we don't get to make it up as we go along. So we will then take a staff report. Good afternoon.
Welcome. My name is Jeff Mitchum. I'm with Bureau of Development Services. And I'm here to provide the staff presentation for the appeal of the Design Commission decision to approve Block 136. Today I'm going to talk about regulatory framework, proposal summary, project context, and appeal summary, and then follow up with an appeal response. This is a Type 3 design review with modifications. The approval criteria are the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines, River District Design Guidelines, modification criteria, bonus height option for housing. Land use review approval findings must find a nexus to relevant design guidelines or modification approval criteria. Design Commission decision was rendered on January 22nd, published on February 2nd, and appealed on February 17th. In the way of overview of the project, the way of overview of the project, it's two north-south oriented buildings plus a courtyard. Fronting Northwest 13th is an office retail building, approximately 75,000 gross square feet. It's a brick-clad building, approximately 76 feet height, four stories of office over retail. It's got a rooftop terrace and an eco-roof. Fronting 12th Avenue is a residential tower, approximately 205,000 gross square feet. It's a glass and metal building, 150 feet in height, 15 stories, 208 apartments, 8 townhomes. It also has a rooftop terrace and eco-roof. The central courtyard is approximately 10,000 square feet. It's publicly accessible. It has an internal loading dock on the west side off the back of the brick office building on 13th. It's programmed for lots of spillout on the ground floor, active and passive uses within. Parking and loading is accessed from 12th Avenue. There are 196 spaces, some long-term bike parking underground, and 3 loading stalls. That project, as described, was unanimously approved by the Design Commission on January 22nd. The project lies at the intersection of Kearney and Johnson and Northwest 12th and 13th Avenue. It's a full city block. It's centrally located within, it's on the north end of the Central City Plan District and also within the River District. It's centrally located within the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. Is adjacent to, across the street to the southwest, to the Northwest 13th Avenue Historic District. One block north is the North Pearl subarea, and another 5 blocks or so east is the Union Station area. As far as some photographs around the site goes, this is a southeast view from Northwest 13th and Kearney. This is a southwest view from Northwest 12th and Kearney, so just spinning around the other way. This is a northwest view from the corner of Northwest 13th and Johnson Street, some context across the street. Zoning for the site is EXD, central employment with a design overlay. The floor area ratio is 4-to-1 base, and with maximum achieved FAR, it can be 7-to-1 with a residential bonus option. The base height is 75 feet, and with the 45 feet of general height bonus for achieving that 3-to-1 floor area ratio and an additional 30-foot bonus height option for housing, the maximum height is 150 feet. This is the view of the project masked up, showing the 13th Avenue brick building orienting directly to 13th Avenue and stepping down to the historic district across the street, and the taller tower building stepping up to the greater massing to the North Pearl. This is a cross-section through the site looking northward, showing in green that the base height limit achieved at both levels of that building. And then again, the 120 foot, so the 45-foot bonus is achieved through the general FAR bonus. And then in blue is the discretionary bonus, the additional 30-foot bonus. As summarized by the appellant, the appeal claims a flawed public process, improper awarding of height bonuses, and a claim that the project does not meet all applicable design guidelines. For the flawed public process, the appellant asserts that the PDNA did not comply with ONI due process standards, and staff and design commission have concluded that the coordination between neighborhood associations and ONI are outside the Bureau of Development Services and Design Commission power and duties. Staff and design commission complied with all city and state mandated public notice requirements, including hearing notices, site posting, BDS website posting, and public testimony at 3 DARs and 2 land use hearings. Also regarding flawed public process, the appellant asserts that the commission asking land use hearing testifiers where they lived in reference to assessing view impacts was improper. Staff design commission conclude that design commission was acting within authority to seek clarity on specific viewshed impacts only. Also regarding flawed public process, the appellant asserts that commission improperly considered future design guidelines in the land use hearing process, implied by commission referring to the building as quote-unquote transitional, and that the commission was really considering impending height limit increases vis-a-vis the West Quadrant plan. Staff design commission conclude that design commission referred to the building as transitional under current height limits only, from lower in the adjacent Northwest 13th Avenue district to higher in the North Pearl subarea one block north. As regards improperly awarding height bonuses, the appellant asserts that the allowance of two separate residential housing exceptions to the height limits is improper. All height limit bonuses should be discretionary within the design review process. Staff commission conclude that, as described in the final findings and decision, bonus height was awarded because it was determined that the project met and in some cases exceeded all applicable design guidelines and criteria contained in the Portland Zoning Code, River District Design Guidelines, and the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines. In short, the bonus is a three-step process. Step one is achieve floor area ratio. The project did that through C1 residential. A maximum FAR award of 3-1 was given. That is a non-discretionary award. The height award then follows. Because the project achieved a 3-1 FAR, it is automatically awarded general height bonus of 45 feet. And that award does not have additional criteria in the design review process. Third step is the discretionary part of it, which is bonus height for housing. So additional bonus height or height bonus is available through the applicable criteria contained in 510-210 E4 A through F. So those criteria are applied to the request. Commission findings supported the bonus in their decision, citing all criteria. It's also worth mentioning that under item 1, C4 rooftop gardens and C10 eco roof could have also been sought as justification for awarding additional FAR. The applicant chose not to seek those. Those remain part of the project. As regards process does not meet all design guidelines, the appellant asserts that the opinion of the design commission fails to include 33.510.210D as part of the specifically enumerated approval criteria. Staff and design commission conclude that the project achieved bonus FAR and was awarded general height bonus of 45 feet, as previously stated. This award is non-discretionary in the design review process. Sites eligible for this award, as identified on map 510-3, have undergone discretionary review in past legislative BPS planning studies. And Design Commission evaluated the project in its entirety, including all bonuses, under all applicable design guidelines. City Council alternatives before you are to deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to approve the requested Block 136 design review with modifications. Number two, deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to approve with conditions added the requested Block 136 design review with modifications. Or number three, grant the appeal and overturn the Design Commission's decision to approve the project. That is the end of staff presentation. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Questions at this juncture? Okay, thank you. All right, then it's time for the appellant to come forward, please. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, I have to take some of my time here to address the procedural issue because I'm not making this up, Mr. Mayor.
But no, we can't make the process up is what I was saying.
Is
the state law is pretty explicit with us about how we do this. So
Okay. Please
don't take offense at that.
Well,
but
I'm not.
This is all choreographed for us under ORS. So
yeah.
Just put your name in the record and we'll give you a little extra time to put on the legal issue as well.
Burton Francis for the record, representing Preserve the Pearl LLC. I do know what procedural due process is about. That's a full and a fair hearing. And in order to have a full and a fair hearing, you have to have an opportunity to respond to the documents and whatever argument is submitted by the other side. I got a phone call at 4:40 4:56 yesterday afternoon from the clerk's office of your chamber, informing me that they had just received a very thick document from the developer in opposition to the appeal. There's no way that we have had a meaningful opportunity to review that document. I spent an hour and a half this afternoon looking at it and only got through page 18 or 19 of a 51-page argument. There's no way for us to meaningfully prepare against those arguments, many of which are false in there. And there's no way for us to meaningfully respond in writing to those arguments.
Well, let me make a clarification for you, which sure. Maybe the city attorney can assist with. Your job in this process is to is to argue against the design commission's decision.
Right.
Your job is not to argue against the developer or applicant's proposal. The design commission has made a decision. It's been appealed to the city council. The proposition before us from you is to tell us why the design commission erred in approving the project.
Yeah, and I'm prepared.
So that record is, you've got that record.
Okay, I'm prepared to do that. However, you know, I look at the developer's paper as something as an amicus curiae, and in under any procedural due process rules, we should have an opportunity to respond to that in writing. Otherwise, that's the last document that you folks get to see. I'm sure that your staff, I mean, a little presumptuous, but I'm sure that your staff hasn't digested that big binder that's sitting in the council office over there.
So after you have a chance to tell us your position on the appeal, at some point you'll get to make a request of us for in the nature of responding further. You have the right to make a request for things like keeping the record open, or asking the mayor to schedule further opportunity for you to respond. What the mayor is telling you is, we'll get to that. We're actually very interested in hearing your substantive arguments about why you think the design commission got it wrong, and then you will have a full chance to raise those issues later, including making requests of us to continue the hearing.
Can I make that request now, just so we get it out of the way?
No, because we want to have the hearing. So
okay.
We want you to make your case for why the design commission erred.
Well, I hope I don't forget to ask you that I need to submit further documentation. Thank you.
For purpose of the council, the city attorney has made note of the request, and I will make sure to remind council to take it up at some point.
Okay,
great.
Thank you. Good.
All right, great. Thanks. So I'm glad we made that record. Now to the substantive argument of the design decision. This overall is clearly a north of Lovejoy building in a south of Lovejoy location. The whole trend in development in the Pearl District has been that the height limits have been blown north of Lovejoy, and so the NOLO District, you know, has basically one of the tallest, if not the tallest, development in existence right now in Portland that's ever been developed going in right now. Under the current design guidelines that exist right now, there's still something called the Middle Pearl between Lovejoy and Hoyt and between the freeway and the river. And those are the design guidelines that should be applicable. With respect to the flawed public process, I think that, you know, the comments I just made contribute to that. I'm not going to address that because I don't have much time. I'm not going to address the issue of whether there's a double dipping on housing exceptions. What I want to get into is the criteria that was deemed approved by the planning department. Just now, you heard that 33.510.210.D, the general exception, is some sort of automatic provision. I've reread that provision many, many times. There's nothing in that provision that says this is an automatic given. In fact, there's criteria under that section 210.D that need to be addressed, one of them being the preservation of the 13th Avenue Historic District. And in the paper that I was able to briefly peruse from the developer, they say that that zoning provision doesn't include preservation. In fact, it does. It says that. So you have to look at the impact on the 13th Avenue Historic District under that provision, 210.D. And you can use the intellectual ruse of it being a heartwood versus a ceiling or a seed versus a sapling. The developer uses this language as somehow relating to the historical context of Portland being a timber place. It's really not. The correct floral reference would be apples and oranges, because you have a smaller mid-rise and you have a high-rise, and the smaller mid-rise is, by everyone's acknowledgement, consistent with that district, the Middle Pearl, and consistent with the 13th Avenue Historic District. This 150-story wall that they want to erect in our neighborhood is obviously an outlier. With respect to the criteria of housing exception under 33.510210.E.4, you have really only two criteria that are applicable, the E and the F provisions. The E provision says that the project needs to better meet the applicable design criteria, all right? That means every one of the design criteria. The argument that's made for this project linking the community to the river, at least by the documentation that I was able to review briefly, is that it's all about whether their new building has views of the river, whether their rooftop has views of the river, whether their own project has views of the river. I read the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines and the River District Design Guide Overlay very differently. I view it as a public document. I view it as a document that's in favor of the public good, not as some prop for private development. And in that sense, a 150-foot wall that runs from north to south through this block, which is in the center of the residential area of the Pearl District, not as it's misrepresented in the paper that I was just reading, whether it is in fact in the geographical center of the Pearl District. It's in the center of our residential area. It fails to link us to the river and the community to the river. It in fact creates a wall or a curtain and curtains off that relatedness. One at the River District Design Guidelines at page 10 suggests that orienting buildings and towers perpendicular to the river signals a shift in the landscape that will foster an awareness of the river's presence for residents, commuters, workers, and visitors. Okay, so buildings like 937 Gleason, which is in existence right now, is oriented on an east-west axis, not a north-south axis, all right? So any complaints that the developer has that the north side of their building is going to be in darkness or something like that isn't supported by the way that the current development in the district exists. Our orientation in the neighborhood is that the river is clearly to the east of us. How do you get across the river? You go down Lovejoy, all right? Lovejoy is an east-west street. So there should be, at the very minimum, a reorientation of this project so that it's on an east-west axis, not on a north-south axis. What would that do? It would reduce the walling off of the residential portion of the Middle Pearl to the Union Station, the Steel Bridge, Mount Hood. It would relate this massive tower to the Lovejoy Corridor. And when we're talking about, you heard a little bit about the Design Commission talking about this being a transitional building. Did you notice how the transition was related to the north of Lovejoy? All right, that was the reference point for the transition. If the orientation of this building is going to relate to north of Lovejoy, it should relate to the Lovejoy Corridor, which would be an east-west axis, not a north-south axis. Positioning the tower on the furthest northern edge, I'm talking about on Kearney, all right, would remove it as far as possible from the 13th Avenue Historic District, and therefore would have less impact on that. It would orient their public space in between the two buildings to feed on to 13th, which would contribute to the vibrancy of 13th Avenue. It would enhance the existing pedestrian walkways that are in the neighborhood at the time. And there's been some quibbling that I've heard before about the fact that those are public walkways, not private walkways. I don't care what kind of walkways there are. They can't have it both ways. If they want to have a public space in between their two buildings and invite the public in, we're talking about access by the public. And the east-west pedestrian network is specifically talked about in a positive way in the River District Design Guidelines. If you orient it east to west, you reduce the profile of the tower. You reduce it from a wall to a profile, to a sideline. This reduces the size and the density of the shadow that's cast all the way over to Jameson Park and beyond, because the shadow studies show that it goes all the way to the residential buildings across Jameson Park. It would reduce the afternoon shadows cast cast on existing residential projects in the building or in the district. And I'm specifically talking about the Riverstone. Okay, if you have a north-south axis with this project, you are condemning the existing residential community of the Riverstone to perpetual shadow. If you oriented it onto Kearney, you have a commercial building to the north of that would be shadowed to some degree on a north-south axis basis. And you would reduce morning shadows if it was a profile rather than a long wall. Let's talk about enhancing and embellishing and identifying areas under A5 and also under C4, and then I'm referring, of course, to the design guidelines, right? The River District, it says in the River District Design Guidelines, is composed of many distinct special areas. Each of these areas is characterized by unique features, opportunities, or a special history. New development should enhance the qualities of that. As I said from the beginning, this is a North of Lovejoy building being put into a South of Lovejoy location under the existing design guidelines, and the existing design guidelines are supposed to be a 75-foot base. Is this consistent with F of the applicable design guidelines, E.4.F? I'm almost done here. That is an interesting feature because that incorporates 33.510.205.A criteria into the design guidelines of this project that's applicable. And the key point here is that there is supposed to be a stepping down of building heights to the Willamette River. And we've just talked about that in front of the council here with the West Quadrant Plan, right? The stepping down is shown. There's no way that this tall tower steps down to the river. If you look at the exhibits that we provided, it just doesn't do it. Just one last sentence, please. Thank you. The developer argues that just because they meet the height and the bonus, that therefore it makes it a step down. That's a tautology. It's not a step down. That's all I have as far as my opening remarks.
All right, thank you. Questions at this point? You may have some more later. All right, thank you very much.
I'd love to answer any questions. No question? Okay.
Okay, thank you. So now we'll take individual supporters of the appeal.
I show six people have signed up.
Okay.
First three, please come on up, are David Halberton, Jeff Merrick, and David Morrell.
Sir, if you could leave them with the clerk. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Afternoon.
Whoever would like to go first?
Guess I'm up. Good afternoon. I'm David Halliburton, Jr. I'm a resident at 820 Northwest 12th Avenue in Portland in the Riverstone that you just heard about. I'm here to support the appeal. I believe that everything that Preserve the Pearl has said is absolutely true, and those are the base facts of what we're talking about. I'm just a simple guy that lives in the Pearl District that is here to talk about what's happening. We've got a situation where, you know, the Pearl has become this icon of international interest. And it was based on a sustainability and to bring rehab of an area that was blighted, to bring new life into it, and to have low-level sustainable living in a multi-family or multi-unit situation. The Riverstone, it was one of the first buildings in the area. It's a six-story building. When we bought in there, we thought, well, here we go. Across the street was the PNCA. At the point that it sold, there was no notice. I live right across the street from the place. I had no idea it was for sale. And then I find out that the developer and the president of the college and somebody else are all hooked together, and they got to move over to the building on, you know, Broadway, which is the federal building. And isn't that's great for everybody? But where was the ability for anybody else to come in and bid on this project? Secondly, I think that when this building comes into hand, we're looking at safety. I do agree that the east-west orientation of the corridor is absolutely, it invites all kinds of suspect activity in the area. If you go around the Pearl District, and you, especially the Sitka Apartments, and you talk about their open east-west corridor and what kind of activities that's brought to their particular unit, you're going to find nothing but trouble. The Pearl has accepted and been part of the development of Portland, Oregon. We've taken in its low-income housing. We've taken in its homeless. We've got Portland Loos around there. Let's let some other part of town take the brunt of this for a while. Let's put some Portland Loos and some affordable housing in other areas, not the Pearl. Let's let the Pearl be a in that area, of 12th Avenue, and what we're talking about is a condo area, not an apartment area. And a 16-story condo will take away all of any sunlight that I ever have a chance of seeing looking to the west. You know, six stories, I'll be able to live with. Some sun will come in. You know, 16 stories is a huge, big block right there. It's going to block out Jameson Park. It's going to kill me and all the trees up and down 12th Avenue. And once you approve a 16-story apartment building for 12th Avenue right there between Johnson and Kearney, it's going to run right down 12th Avenue. I need that 24-hour fitness. Those guys there, they'll dump that place in a heartbeat, and they don't want 16. They're going to want 32 stories. And is that what you're going to want to put on 12th Avenue, which is a very, very small avenue that really just used to serve railroad cars to go up to the brewery? It's not a big street. And you're going to have a garage access on 12th Avenue right there, loading zone, all of this stuff. Where are all these people going to go? You got 196 parking spaces, 208 livable units, and that doesn't even account for all the people that are working in this other building. Let's go back to the original design concept, which was 2 6-story apartment buildings side by side. Leave it at that. Forget all this other. We don't need office spaces in the Pearl. What we need are parking spaces. Okay. All right? Thank you.
Can I ask you one question? I want to make sure you understand. You're saying that the idea of the east-west open space is not a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
Isn't that what exists in the Riverstone?
But it has the access to the Riverstone is controlled.
I'm looking at that.
It's
here,
a controlled access. If you're going to control the access.
Oh, because it's not public.
That's correct.
I see. Okay, I understand your point. All right.
You see my point?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Jeff Merrick, and I just want to talk about your discretion on the height. And this is my simple submission to orient you to what we're talking about. We've got Jameson Square that we're all familiar with, where the kids play with their moms when it's sunny. And west of that is the Riverstone condominium, and west of that will be this 15-story wall oriented to block the entire park as it is now designed. You know, one day after work, it was kind of a rough day. I got off the streetcar at Johnson and 10th, and I sat in the park for a while to catch a little bit of sun. And on this picture, I sat right where I took the picture here in the lower corner, and then I noticed what I always notice is the curtain of shade that comes down because of the 6 floors of the Riverstone. And so I took a picture of, you know, the kids getting edged out of the water into the last little bit of sunshine. You can see the picture that I was looking at of the Riverstone blocking the sun. And so I looked it up. The sunset should have been 8:40 that day. The sunset on the kids was 6:17 that day. So the parents had on that May day, and it's less on other times of year, obviously. You know, the moms come home after work. They had 1 hour of sunshine with their kids in the pond, and then it's done. And you add 15 floors or another 9 floors right behind this, these kids won't get any sunshine. And so I guess I'm just asking you, you know, I guess you have a choice, really. You know, do you stand with my rich white brothers from Seattle to help them add their towers, or do you want to stand with the poopy pants little kids and give them another hour in the sunshine with their parents? And today I'm for the poopy pants little kids, and I hope you guys are too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm David Moyel. I'm a retired surgeon.
Can you move a little?
Yeah, move the microphone. Just slide it.
The whole thing slides.
There you go.
The whole thing.
That works. There you go. Low tech, but it works.
David Moyel. I'm a retired surgeon for 3 years. I've lived in Riverstone for 15. I was made aware that the Pearl District Neighborhood Association was a stop-off point for advice and decision-making related to building in the Pearl. When the project PNCA closed or moved or sold, I would have expected the Neighborhood Association to play a role and got engaged in the process, went to probably now 8 meetings of their group, joined by my neighbor down the hall, who was a standing member of that group, a voting member. He was unaware that there was any discussions about the project. And as we found, because the minutes of the meetings for the Pearl District Neighborhood Association were not current, as a matter of fact, there was a kind of a inability to get them done on time. So anybody that wanted to know what was going on had no access to information. The Pearl District Neighborhood Association has been around since 1991. It's still, up until the end of this last year, 2014, does not have a connection to any of the condo associations, so that the condo associations in that district know what's going on. There is no official connection between these groups, which is really kind of surprising to me. As someone that went to the meetings for the district association, the neighborhood association, it became very clear they were their own entity. And because most of the people that live in the Pearl are renters, there are owners, of which we represent some owners. Most of the people that live in the Pearl are renters. The ability for the people who contribute and feel it's a neighborhood, not a transient rental group, are really underrepresented or not represented. And the ONI, through NWNW, had sent to the district association that they were not performing according to the metrics of having their information out there. That was in 2012. I've included some documents about their performance. The people at the neighborhood association do good work, but really them as a voice for the neighborhood is inadequate. Thank you.
Sir, can I just because we're going to have other people testify, we are hearing this as an appeal of a decision by the Design Commission. And you're raising perfectly valid concerns as a citizen about the neighborhood association, whether it represents your interests, other kinds of things. But I would just say that for other people testifying, we're bound by a set of rules and laws. And so it's most helpful to us to hear why people believe that the Design Commission got it wrong and what code language has been applied incorrectly. And it's not to say that I'm minimizing your concerns. I'm just saying that it doesn't help us, other than we're becoming aware of what
this project. I'll say one thing. This project went through the neighborhood association and got massaged into a direction based on their advice, which did not represent the neighborhood, to the current status that it's in.
Okay. Okay.
That's the point.
I hear you.
We don't, the mayor has, the mayor is very generous in terms of these hearings and making sure people get a chance to be heard, but the question of the sale of the building or the question of the neighborhood association is not technically the issue that's before us. And the more focus on the code and the specific legal issues, the more helpful it is for us to then decide whether we think the Design Commission got it right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.
The last three I showed signed up are Suzanne Clenard, Ilana Schwartz, and Stark Ackerman.
I think Mr. Ackerman is representing the applicant. Right. Okay. So, okay. Anyone else wants to speak in support of the appeal? Okay. You two get the last word on that side of the question.
I am not speaking for myself. I am reading a testimony from Judy Duncan, who is a real estate agent in the Pearl. My name is Judy Duncan.
And this is Suzanne Lenard reading the statement.
Sorry.
We have to have your name.
I am Suzanne Lenard, 1030 Northwest Johnson Street in the Tanner Place. Director of International Making Cities Livable Conferences. My name is Judy Duncan. I live in 725 Northwest 10th, number 503, Portland, Oregon, in the Tanner Place condominiums built in 2000. I discovered the Pearl District in 1996 before mainstream knew what the Pearl District was or where it was. I fell in love with the concept of the city and developers taking this blighted area and creating a residential area where people could live, work, and recreate. At that time, there was no Jameson Square Park, only a few new condominiums developed and vast old rail yards. Imagine. I have been a real estate broker for the past 22 years. After discovering the Pearl District, I moved my residence and my business to the Pearl in 2000. I wanted to invest in this neighborhood and work here. I love my neighborhood and have many friends here. I meet many people who are moving from another state or country. What draws people here is that it feels European, people say. This is created by not having canyons of very tall buildings. The ambience we feel around Jameson Square is very pleasant and inviting, with an abundance of airspace and open skies with light. Such a critical need in the winter months. The Pearl District is changing. That is a fact, and it will continue to change because people want to live, work, and play here. It's very inviting. We who live and work here should have a determining weight in what is built here. We have the vested interest. We pay the taxes to maintain what it is. The visionary and father of the Pearl District, Al Solheim, could not have said it more wisely. It's been especially exciting, I quote, it's been especially exciting over the past 20 years, and it's going to continue. And that's because the people who have been involved in developing it are local, and they understand what can and should be done. They care about what they're doing. Where do you, who are affecting the changes, live, work, and play?
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Ilana Schwartz. I live at 820 Northwest 12th Avenue, and I'm here to wholeheartedly support the Preserve the Pearl LSC appeal. I agree with everything that was put into that appeal, but I want to make two points this afternoon. One is, I'm sorry, Commissioner Fish, but it is about the Pearl Neighborhood Association. That was part of the appeal, that there wasn't due process. That the Neighborhood Association met with the developer, and we as the residents of that community were not notified, were not told about it, couldn't find out about it in the notes. Frankly, I feel ripped off. I work for the City of Portland. I'm not here. I'm on my own time right now, but I know that that is not the intent of ONI to have something like that happen.
My only point was, you're actually before the city council now, and we're the decision makers. So you get to make whatever argument you want about the law and the code, and you've got the council's attention. And I'm just saying, it doesn't, whatever their challenges there are with the with the neighborhood association, you're actually talking to the decision makers. So we can go right to the legal issues that concern you about height and code interpretation and precedent, and we're going to make a decision based on your testimony. That's the only point I was making.
Right, yeah, and my point is that we might not be here if the neighborhood association had included us from the beginning. So I just wanted to make that point. The second point I want to make is at one of the DAR meetings, the owner of Cool Moon Ice Cream was there. And I don't know if she's here today, but she gave a testimony. You know, she's a small business owner, and she gave a very compelling testimony about the increased density of the shadow on the park was really going to affect her business. And that's the kind of businesses we want in Portland. I mean, if you've ever been to that corner, that business brings people out. There are children playing. There are multi-generations of people there. And her business will be in jeopardy with this building. That's the kind of businesses that we want here in Portland. I know that you support small businesses. I mean, the neighborhood does definitely not need another Botox shop or something like that. So in conclusion, I just want to you to listen to the testimony here, the recommendations put forth by the Preserve the Pearl LSC, and remand this case back to the Design Commission. We're not opposing a building. We're opposing the orientation of the building and the height of the building as was represented in the appeal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could you just tell me why do you – so presumably you'd like it to be oriented 90 degrees.
Right.
And why, in your own words, why is that, would that be better?
Because it doesn't create a wall on 12th Avenue. 12th Avenue is very narrow. So by reorienting it, you have the wall facing the other way, so you don't have that wall on 12th Avenue. You're not creating the shadow on Jameson Park and also the Riverstone condominiums. Plus, it goes more with the current design ordinances where the mid-Pearl doesn't have those tall buildings, so that it makes it more of that transition building, which the commission actually spoke about.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Tim Allen. We live in, my wife Kathy and I live in the Marshall Wells condominium lofts. 1420 Lovejoy. And I'll pare this down because I address some things that aren't necessarily addressing the design. 11 years ago, we invested in a condominium at Marshall Wells at 1420 Northwest Lovejoy. Our plan was to retire and age in place in Portland. Concern in selecting the unit at the time was building heights. We were told by our sales agent, that the limit was 75 feet. For that reason, we selected a more expensive unit on the third floor facing east towards the river so we'd have some sunlight. What we didn't know at the time is that more than a dozen high-rise buildings north of Lovejoy were in various stages of development. Soon our view of the Fremont and Broadway bridges and the river was gone. The sky to the northeast was reduced to a sliver at the top of our windows by the high-rises. We were left with a small rectangular view of the sky to the southeast. Should block 136 be developed as proposed, we will almost never have direct sunlight on our unit since the proposed 150-foot tall building will shade a lower floor like ours for pretty much all day. The proposed development of block 136 will drastically and negatively affect our quality of life and decrease the value of our property. When we selected the Pearl District to live, we felt there was a desire in Portland to preserve the district's warehouse heritage by preserving and repurposing buildings. The proposed development of Block 136 is in direct conflict with that notion. It is extremely incongruous with the low-rise neighborhood which surrounds it. We are not totally against development, but it should be right-sized for the residents, property owners, and taxpayers of the neighborhood, and not supersized for the benefit of the developers. I'd also like to address notification. Regarding notification of local residents, although we live one block from Block 136, we never heard a word about the proposed development until the period for comment was closed. Our neighbors happened to stop by while they were walking their dog and saw a small piece of paper taped to the side of the building and told us about it. In fact, to this day, many residents who live in close proximity to Block 136 still have no idea about the proposed building. I'll pass over the rest and just say that, to conclude, we strongly urge the city maintain existing height limits in the Pearl District south of Lovejoy. This will preserve the existing property values, quality of life for residents and taxpayers, and the heritage of the Warehouse District.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you all. Okay, anyone else want to speak in support of the appeal? If not, then we'll turn to the applicant for their presentation. We've got slides. Is that what we're queuing up here?
PowerPoint presentation.
Okay. All right. Carla will get it queued up for us whenever you're ready.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. There it is.
Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Fish. My name is Stark Ackerman. I'm an attorney at Black Helterline, and I'm here representing Security Properties, the applicant. My address is 805 Southwest Broadway, Portland, 97205. I'd like to introduce several others on the project team who are here today to help in this presentation and to answer any questions that might come up. On my left is Phil Wiest, an associate at my firm. On my right is Heidi Oyen from Methuen, who's the firm that has designed this project. And in the audience are John Marasco and Michael Nanny from Security Properties. I'd like to begin our presentation by saying that we think we have a great multi-use project for Block 136 in the Pearl District. And the Design Commission agreed unanimously. The project provides an office and retail building and also a residential building that together not only recognize the 13th Avenue Historic District and the growing residential focus of the Pearl District, but also add a new public space in the form of a central courtyard, one quarter block in area, running the length of the whole block. This project is the product of extensive public involvement and close collaboration with the Design Commission and meets or exceeds all applicable approval criteria and design guidelines, as is reflected in the Design Commission's approval. I'd like now to turn this over to Heidi to describe for you the key features of the project, after which I want to discuss some of the most important factors we think you should consider in making your decision. Heidi?
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, it's been a great pleasure to work in this special part of the Pearl District. As you know, the Block 136 is located between 12th and 13th, Johnson and Kearney. It's directly kitty-corner to the Historic District and equidistant to the Willamette River in both the east and north directions. The Pearl has fantastic courtyards. Just absolutely fantastic courtyards. And early on in our process, we studied these courtyards, and we learned that most of the courtyards in public or semi-public land are oriented in the north-south direction, and it is the vacated right-of-ways that go east and west. This lets a lot of great sunlight in. It's definitely something we wanted to do in our project. So this shows the ground floor plan with two bar buildings. On the left is the 13th Avenue building offices, and on the right is the 12th Avenue apartment building. There's the large quarter block sized courtyard in the middle. It's 50 feet by 200 feet long. This orientation allows sun to warm the courtyard during the day and provides equal daylight to the buildings rather than having a long, dark north facade. It also lets us build a long dock along 13th Avenue. We've then raised the level of the retail floor at that 3-foot dock level all the way through the building and built another dock on the courtyard side. This allows retail to spill on the north or on the east and west, and then we've set the retail on Johnston and Kearney low at sidewalk level, so every part of this building has great spill-out potential. For the apartment building, the entry is located off the courtyard, and the amenity spaces wrap into the courtyard. Then 8 townhouses wrap the corner of Johnston and Kearney, kitty corner from Johnston Street townhouses that are firm designed. And then there's the garage and loading entrances kind of up on the northern part of 12th Avenue. We met with the PDNA early on and took their advice to keep 13th Avenue building low in response to the historic district, to build some on-grade open space, and to build office use at all. This was at first a residential project. Security Properties is a developer of apartment buildings, but the Pearl District Neighborhood Association thought there was a demand for office in the neighborhood, and they had a desire to have daytime activity on the site. When using all the allowable FAR, this left the apartment building at 150 feet tall. And it turns out the PDNA was right. Security Properties has a lot of interest in leasing the office space. And depending on the type of office, we estimate that it could serve 300 to 480 jobs with all of those people stimulating daytime businesses during the day. The Pearl has developed over time in really different cycles, from the warehouses to newer townhouses to the more recent high-rises. It's a diverse and dynamic neighborhood. It's wonderful for that, and we wanted to add to that. We sometimes develop a guiding concept when designing a project, and in this case, we were inspired by the working durable heartwood for the low-rise and light-seeking fresh seedlings for the high-rise. This metaphor was inspired by the diversity of the Pearl, and you can see how it influences the form and materiality of the two buildings, with the low-rise being a solid-looking brick building and the high-rise a taller-looking metal and glass building. This view shows how the buildings fit into the district with a view towards the Willamette. The Design Commission was pleased with the overall massing and orientation of the project, and they were supportive of bonus height in order to keep the office low at the historic district and to keep the courtyard on grade. And they advised that the success of the project would hinge on how well the ground floor levels were integrated into the street level. So they were giving us the height, but it felt like the street level was important for that. So we went into the Pearl District often. We studied materials, great docks along 13th Avenue, townhouses, what worked, what didn't, how garage doors were integrated. We had already studied the courtyards a bit. And then we took the best recipes for what works in the Pearl and worked them into every edge of the design of the project. Really, we have 8 edges here. So I will walk you through those now along the ground levels. This is the 12th Avenue building. It'll have 8 townhouses, 4 facing Johnson and 4 on 12th Avenue. They'll have
their entrances are on
their the entrances are. They're also an accessible entrance from inside the building, but they're all accessed directly from the street. This shows 4 of them along 12th Avenue. The stoops are raised about 2 or 3 feet, depending on the slope, from the sidewalk. Also has a light screen element and 2 layers of planting, and this we think is a good recipe for allowing people to be on their patios with a little bit of privacy where they can watch the world go by but not feel like they're in a fishbowl. And then the courtyard, this is inspired by a log jam concept. It will use timber salvaged from the existing building on the site for log benches. So in this view, you'll see the residential patio spilling out from the base of the apartment building on the kind of upper left, tables and chairs in the foreground that can be used by the public, people coming out of the retail building or from the apartments. There's a bocce ball court in the upper right, and then the raised dock along 13th Avenue. So there's a lot of activity here. We think it'll be 24/7. There will almost always be eyes on this courtyard. It shouldn't be a dangerous place with that kind of activity day and night. And then this view shows the activity along the dock even better. The dock itself is envisioned to have tables and chairs spilling out from the retail building and provide